As Catholics, we celebrate this weekend the end of the Christmas season and the baptism of the Lord. It's kind of interesting that just a couple weeks ago we were celebrating the birth of the Lord, and we've covered about 30 years of his life in about 2.5 weeks. But it is important that the church celebrate this baptism so near to the birth of Jesus, because Jesus himself is the one who talks about baptism as a new type of birth. I found myself pondering, though, and I'm sure many of you have, why would Jesus be baptized? Baptism is given, as many of you know, for the purpose of washing away sin, both original sin and personal sin. So did Jesus need to be baptized for that purpose? Absolutely not. He had no sin. And if Jesus didn't really need to be baptized, do we? There are several reasons for his baptism. Number one, many of the church fathers and the catechism tell us it is a public revelation. In fact, you hear towards the end of the gospel here that the Holy Spirit descends. It manifests itself from heaven, saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You see, as we've talked about many times before, people expected the Messiah to be an earthly king. And Jesus would reveal himself as the Messiah, but they would question his divinity. But by the Holy Spirit coming down and God saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," it gives little doubt about his divinity, especially in the early history of the church. But he also sets an example for us. I think many of us get very irritated when leadership asks us to do something but isn't willing to do it themselves. Many of us who have been in leadership have all been guilty of that at times. But Jesus would have found himself in an interesting position if he had asked people to be baptized but didn't show them the way. Church fathers also say that it was to sanctify the waters. St. Ambrose of Milan, for instance, says, "The Lord was baptized not to be cleansed himself, but to cleanse the waters, so that those waters cleansed by the flesh of the Christ, which knew no sin, might have power of baptism." That the waters now have power of baptism. Did you know that in an emergency, any of you can baptize, and you should know how to? You use pure water and pour it over their head 3 times, saying, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." One of the questions on the baptismal form is, "Was your child privately baptized?" And I always give that to parents, and they kind of look at me like, "Father, is this a private baptism?" No, that's not what we meant. We meant if grandma or grandpa got crazy in the bathtub and said, "We're not waiting on these kids to baptize our grandkid, we're going to do it." He also, by doing so and having himself baptized, connects our baptism and his baptism to the cross. What do I mean by that? Well, in our theology of baptism, one of the things you'll hear over and over is this idea of dying in the waters of baptism and rising to new life. I remember as a kid, our parents would often take us to swim over at Twin Rivers. We lived over in the Twin Lakes area. And I was very scrawny at the time. And other boys in the pool would hold my head under the water. And, of course, any of you who have had that done as a child know how scary it is. And any of you who have done it as an adult to a child know how fun it is. But that's very sick and twisted. And you know that fear that you have as you're having your head held underwater, really scared that you'll drown or something. But then you also experience the great relief, that gasp of air as you come up. And that's kind of the image that is portrayed for us in the scriptures about being baptized. Remember, back in the day, they would do a full immersion baptism, or at least you would get down in the water significantly. Many times holding the person under the water for those three times, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And often they were in a river, which was cold water. And so it had this experience of, you know, almost a not pleasant experience, but when you got out, you felt a lot better. Now, today we don't do that. We're not into torturing our children. But we should still experience this sense of dying and then rising again. Why? Because those who are not incorporated into the death of Christ cannot be incorporated into his rising again. We must all experience a certain death in this life, and not the death of our body, but the death of our sin and our handing over of our heart to God. Now, we know from what the scripture has said and our theologians, the early church, that it was good for Jesus to set us the example of baptism. But what about us? Is baptism really necessary for us? This morning, a friend of mine was watching TV, and he was watching a sermon by one of our non-denominational Christian churches here in town. And the preacher had a very interesting line. He said, there is nothing special in Wichita's water. And I don't think he was talking about the fluoride debate. He was talking about baptism. And the point that he was trying to make in this sermon is that baptism by water doesn't do anything for you. As Catholics, we could not disagree more, and unfortunately, this particular preacher doesn't seem to know his Bible. In John 3:5, we read, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, you can understand a spiritual baptism, a desire for baptism, but Jesus himself says that water here is necessary. Now, if one doesn't have access to it, if one is lying there dying, desiring to be baptized, certainly God gives you what is called a baptism of desire. Or if you're a martyr dying for the Christian faith but have never been baptized, what we call a baptism of blood. But under normal circumstances, we prefer to follow what Jesus says by being baptized with water. In Matthew 28:19-20, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And in Acts 2:38, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So why would a preacher who claims to be Christian say that there's nothing special about the water in Wichita? Why would he say that a water baptism is not necessary? And what I find among many Christians is that they shy away from baptism specifically because they do not see change in the life of people who are baptized. So one would be led to the conclusion that being baptized doesn't do anything for you, right? If they see somebody baptized and then go out and act like a non-Christian, then what does that say about the effectiveness of baptism? There was a boy one day who went with his little brother and his parents, the little brother, to be baptized in the church. And the little boy named Jack was sobbing on the way home in the back seat of the car, and his dad turned around and said, what's wrong? And Jack just pouted and looked down. His dad turned around again and said, Jack, what's wrong? And he had a blank stare on his face, but wouldn't open his mouth. He turned around a third time to his son and said, Jack, what is wrong? And finally the boy replied, He said, that priest said that he wanted us to be brought up in a Christian home, but I want to stay with you guys. Guys, baptism is something that certainly is effective. It opens us up to the grace of God, but it must also be lived. Just because people don't live out their baptism does not mean that it is not effective or necessary. But it is something that has to be renewed because we are all sinners. And as Scripture says, we are all in need of the grace of God. And I want to share with you some very practical ways of renewing your baptism. What's the first thing many of you did when you came into the church today? You dipped your hands in the cesspool of the flu called the Holy Water Font. Actually found this past week in the UK, one church installed an automatic holy water dispenser. You hold your hand under. I saw the video. It's awesome. And the water just squirts out a little bit. Wouldn't that be awesome? Or it'd be even better if we could just put hand sanitizer at every door and bless it, right? But when you come in the church and you dip your hands in that holy water and make the sign of the cross, it's interesting that you're using the same water that you were baptized with. I mean, not literally, but it's still holy water, right? And you're using the same words that you were baptized with in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You see, every time you dip your hands in holy water and make the sign of the cross, it's meant to be a renewal of your baptism. And what does that word renew mean? It means new again. In other words, it's like, I want to be like that little baby, or for some of you as adults, when I was first baptized. When I make that sign of the cross with that holy water, I want to live like that again. What did Jesus say? Unless you become like little children. One thing we do during the Easter season is we renew our baptismal vows. Do you reject Satan and all his works and all his empty promises? And then we go on to ask you the three articles of our faith, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which we still profess every weekend, renewing your baptism. In the baptismal ceremony, there's many signs and symbols, but two that really are striking in reference to what we visit today is the white garment, like this. Many times as a baby, it's the beautiful white gown, right? For adults, it might be a white suit, or we might give them something like a white stole or some type of white garment. You see, you can't see the soul. So we use that white garment to represent the soul. And what happens to white garments? Any mother who has to do laundry knows it's one of the worst to keep clean, right? And so too with our souls. But sometimes they get soiled and they need to be washed. When do we wash our garments? Right back there in the confessional. We make new again our baptism every time we go to confession. When you walk out of that confessional, it's as if you'd just been baptized. No wonder it feels so good. And then the candle. The little white candle you're given, you're lit from the Easter candle. A reminder of what Jesus says, that we are to be a light to the world and to not hide our light, but to let it shine before everyone. I recommend to parents when they have their children baptized to actually get that candle out every year on their baptismal day. Bake a little white cake or a cupcake, stick that candle in it, and celebrate it like a birthday. Why? Because if a child grows up celebrating their baptism like they celebrate their birthday, how important will baptism be to that child? How much of a sense they would have each year of renewing their baptism. But most importantly today, what does baptism mean to you? Is it just pictures that you look back on? Just cute little babies? Or is it something much more real to you that you experience every day? Each time you use holy water, each time you profess your faith, each time you confess your sins. Every day, every weekend, I stand up here and give all sorts of ideas for living out a good Christian life. But honestly, the easiest, the most simplest way to be a good Christian can be summed up in the question, how am I living out my baptism?